Morning. So that's lovely that I haven't got to hold anything. Yesterday I was not knowing what to do with the microphone. I was lucky enough to speak at International Women's Day. So yeah, so here it is. Happy International Women's Day. So and of course we mentioned the men. It's not just about women. So I'm here to talk to you about Talitha Coombe, and I'm sure that many of you know about Talitha Coombe and will have been following us and hearing about us along the way. So sorry if I repeat anything you know already. I know that many of you have been involved with the development and support of TK since it was first the inspiration and calling of individuals, church and community groups locally. This support and prayer has grown, and from the beginning in 2004, the strength of faith and prayer has been the solid foundation in which is now a fully occupied sheltered home for vulnerable women. After 7 years of prayer, vision and passion for the project, the footings were laid in 2011. The money to pay for the works has been donated, given through grants and raised by individual and group support. As you may know, the land was part of the Cross family farmland out at Wittenersham. So much dedication and generosity has poured into the building and development of the project. So many prayers heard, and so many individuals, community groups and churches committed to seeing the Hope Centre evolve. I should have explained that really, that we, it's Talitha Coombe, but the building where the supported housing is called the Hope Centre. But through the last 5 years, we've also run a group called Women Together. But I'll talk about that a little bit more. In 2011, the big cross was erected and dedicated. It's a great big cross. As we go up the hill to work, I'm sure some of you have been there, but it's a really large cross and the sunlight pours through, and that's just a great reminder that we're doing God's work as we drive up there in the morning. It's such a privileged place to be, but it really feels very special. So the cross was erected and dedicated, and an orchard of memory trees were planted. TK was growing roots. The official opening of the Hope Centre was the 30th of November in 2016, when many people gathered for this special day, for the opening, so long awaited, not least by the women who it's been built to support. The 7 beautiful rooms with ensuite bathrooms were ready for occupation. But in this period, the original criteria to accommodate women who were alcohol and substance users with dependency issues became tangled with changes to funding and avenues of support. Trustees and supporters, after further consultation and prayer alongside others who were heavily committed to delivering the service, decided to broaden the remit and change the referral criteria. The decision was to offer supported housing to women who for many reasons had become vulnerable and in need of support. The women we seek to support are made up from many layers of hurt and fragility, and also share many similarities of vulnerability. Clear needs are the need for a home, needs for healing, needs for rest, care and kindness, and practical needs to be addressed, such as sorting out and accessing benefits, accessing medical services, debt advice, specialist support from services with specific skills, such as sexual abuse in childhood, bereavement, learning to speak English, translation, and so many more examples. Through a thorough assessment, followed on by the admissions process, the support team become aware of the unique needs of each woman. This is the basis for support, recovery and informed choice about each woman's option at every stage. I've been in this post just over a year now, and I'm delighted to have been appointed. I've been supported by my fellow colleagues, including staff and trustees. I've settled in and got to know the now and the history of TK. And I've also met with many supporters, neighbours and friends throughout the year, who have also been very warm and encouraging. All of these relationships have helped me to settle in and helped me to play a part in the organisation as we move forward. From my perspective, it's been a very interesting and rewarding year. I've got to know my new colleagues and taken on the responsibilities that come with the role, with a good deal of support from my colleagues. Fortunately, my career has been in a similar field, although not such a beautiful and picturesque field as the Hope Centre is set in. Fundraising events are so valuable to TK, as we depend on the gifts and donations we receive to sustain the service delivery. We receive local authority payments towards the housing we provide, but the support of the now 8 women who are our service users or residents, and much of the vital, unique support service we are providing is dependent on the grants and donations we receive. We are grateful to you, our supporters and friends, neighbours, and for the fundraising events that you all put on that are held to raise funds for the work of TK, and also for attending events that we organise. The money is amazingly helpful, and of course equally so the faith, friendship, belief and commitment to sustain the work we do in supporting women who become known to us. The leadership team worked with such determination once the remit changed from a rehab facility to supported housing in 2018. The need to progress the amended plans for the Hope Centre and open its doors was a positive and a wise decision. There are many amendments made to policies and procedures to offer supported housing to vulnerable, homeless women who were down on their luck, unwell, broken by life events. So many labels and descriptions for women who need a place to live. Whilst they stay, they're supported to make choices about their future. In a setting that provides staff support with informed choices and a professional understanding of opportunities and options that could make a difference. Since June 2018, we've been fully occupied, apart from periods of changeover, and this has been consistent for the last 20 months. In January this year, we furnished a room, that was the 8th room I just mentioned, we furnished a room that was a sitting room to add an 8th bedroom, as demand exceeds availability. We're just about to fit out 3 more rooms that will make space then for 11 women. I've bought copies of these plans and a prospectus. I think I've got one prospectus. As I say, I did a talk yesterday, but if anyone's interested in anything, ask me afterwards. I can always email it through, but there are pictures and a footprint of the plans, which I'm really excited about and happy to share with you. The setting of the Hope Centre is perfect for rest and recovery from the many issues that women have faced. Within this beautiful location, the Hope Centre is set beside a lawn with an orchard area and fields and vegetable gardens. Last summer the weather was very kind and the residents have really enjoyed the outdoor pursuits open to them there on this 2 acres of land. The homegrown produce has provided ingredients for home-cooked meals, often involving a large quantity of courgettes, marrow and tomatoes, or, of course, the favourites, apple crumble, apple pie, or good old stewed apple. There's great satisfaction in growing and cooking home produce, and it's deeply and satisfying and rewarding to do that work. Residents enjoy the activity of gardening together. There is then more enjoyment in food preparation in the shared kitchen, and then the ultimate enjoyment of eating together. It's extremely rewarding to see this level of shared activity among our residents. Let me also take you through the stages of accepting a resident. Women can self-refer, or as is more usual, that they can be referred by another professional who may already be offering support to a woman they know. The referrals are carefully assessed, as there are many factors to consider when offering rooms in a supported housing setting. The last outcome we want is for a resident to be in the wrong setting, as rejection features highly in the lives of vulnerable women. When a woman is offered at the Hope Centre, it is hoped that the woman will be here with us until she is ready to move on into independent accommodation. Women are vulnerable for a wealth of reasons, and resilience plays a large part in the craggy journey which, in fairness, many people travel. Childhood abuse, loss, rejection, drug and alcohol use, gambling, coercion, abuse in adult life, criminal activity, fraud, mental illness, and so many more factors, singularly or stacked up, can all be the triggers which begin the process of extreme vulnerability and harm. I talk about layers so regularly, and one of my strongest feelings when we changed from being a rehab centre to support people with addiction is that actually that we all go through life and we have different things that occur that make us hurt and recover. And if we're fortunate enough to have people around us that love us, be our family, be our church family, then we often heal in a greater way. And all of us here know we're so privileged that we know that God loves us. But those people that haven't experienced that, they feel they're down there on the pecking order, that how could God love them? So when I talk about those layers, it's all of those that make me and all of us. And so the women that we're supporting who have the vulnerable label, they just haven't bounced back, or they haven't known love. And it's, instead of healing, these things just stack up and up and up to make them broken in a way that they need healing from. At TK, we're in the position to support the aspects of life that have been harmed or broken. This is done in many ways, including, as I said earlier, getting benefits in place, providing information about options, from which dentist to register with, right through to accessing legal support to face an historic event. Staff can assist with contacting estranged relatives, debt worries, and even simple listening and caring. So far, we've supported 16 residents. We've had inquiries for space from 22 other women where it's been possible, we've been able to direct to other places for support. But we know that's the 22 people that we could have accommodated had we had the space. So of the 16 women that have been in supported housing with us, we've got two women that have gone into college. We've got two women who've completed an Alpha course in different churches at different times. One is now living in a setting where they are offered board and lodgings in exchange for full-time work. Three have moved on to alternative independent accommodation. Two have moved on as their medical needs needed the specific expertise of medical care. We were able to support them for a year, not quite a year, and help them heal and to understand that they needed a medical intervention, a consistent medical intervention that we weren't able to heal with. So we worked with our colleagues in the NHS and professional partners, and they're now engaging in that. And these moves have been done in partnership with the appropriate professionals, and of course with the women remaining central to all the communication. Women Together, the groups that I talked about, continues to run three separate groups every week in the community. These drop-in sessions are open to women who have been affected by addiction, either currently or historically. They were set up 5 years ago when the remit was around addiction, and Jenny has led them, my colleague. She's led them from the beginning and set the programme up. And over this period, 126 women have accessed a Women Together group, and in some cases, more than one of the groups in the same week. The group has a pattern of facilitation, but it's not a structured programme. It's an open meeting which focuses on support during the meeting and offers encouragement and friendship. There have been a number of very moving and humbling cases where women attending the groups have recovered from chaotic lifestyles, managed to change the patterns of dependency and address issues that they've struggled to face. There have been situations where women have shown immense courage and tenacity to stress, hurt, and a spectrum of emotions, challenging themselves as they consider life without alcohol or substance use. Whatever their pathway, they have been welcomed into Women Together. So I've talked a bit about the work we do, and I'll talk a little bit now about the future. We're delighted to be where we are right now, but we're not complacent. The Board of Trustees is strong and active. Everyone on the board contributes to the management of the charity and is actively involved in sustaining the Hope Centre in the many ways needed. The staff team have been carefully recruited to offer the expertise and direction needed to achieve the best outcomes for the women we're supporting. There's a wealth of expertise within the team, and collectively that enables the service to operate effectively. We're extremely grateful to you, our many supporters, neighbours, friends and other churches and community groups who so generously support us, donate money to us and pray for us and with us as we continue to grow and establish our service within Suffolk. Again, I say we're not complacent. Each woman is unique, and whilst there are many primary needs that women have, they're each on their own unique journey, which involves the expertise and direction to travel. Vocational and educational integration, activity opportunities, meaningful interaction with fellow residents and being valued are all a part of the work that staff are involved in putting in place for the women. So thank you so much for listening to me, and thank you for your continued prayer and your big welcome today.